Hello, Fightful Faithful, and welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. My name is Alex Pulowski, and everything sucks. That's all I gotta say. I just finished watching Raw. That's all I gotta say. So let's talk about it. Last night was actually Raw, but I didn't watch it then. Because I don't watch them live, because it makes me sad. So, Sunday night, fantastic main event of NXT TakeOver In Your House. Charlotte Flair defended the NXT Women's Championship, something she never should have won. She defended it against the person she beat for the title, Rhea Ripley, and also the person that she, two nights ago, lost that title to, Io Shirai. I'm going to be very, very clear about this. Charlotte never should have set foot in NXT. Again. I mean, the first time, yeah, cool. I mean, they built her from the ground up. She is a fantastic professional wrestler. Everything she does in the ring, with the exception, the very, very glaring exception of moonsaults, everything else she does in the ring is fantastic. She's very, very good at what she does. She, at least I don't think so. She doesn't decide her own booking, so I can't hold that against her. Coming back to NXT, beating everybody that she could in NXT, never getting pinned or submitted to lose the title back to the NXT women's roster. And everyone's like, oh no, she's going to go there and put over all the young talent. Who did she put over? She didn't even put over Io Shirai. Rhea Ripley did that. Rhea Ripley, who, again, Survivor Series weekend, she was the queen of the world. That War Games match, the stuff she did in the Survivor Series elimination match with the three brand thing. She was like on top of the world. There was no bigger, brighter star in wrestling than Rhea Ripley. Her coming out after that, she beats Shayna Baszler, who never lost in NXT. Like never, ever. Like what, lost once or twice ever. And Shayna lost her title that she had held forever to Rhea Ripley. And then Rhea Ripley defended it against Bianca Belair. That's another story I'm going to get to in a little bit. Who is one of the best we've ever seen in NXT. Then she challenged Charlotte to a match at WrestleMania. And Charlotte took her time before she said, yeah, sure, I will. And they had the match. And if Rhea Ripley had won that match, she would have been like vaulted into the stratosphere. And let's be honest, it wouldn't have hurt Charlotte, because guess what Charlotte would have said? It doesn't matter. That loss doesn't matter. And then we would just have to accept it, because that's what Charlotte always says. No losses matter to Charlotte. But Rhea Ripley would have been vaulted into the stratosphere, one of the biggest stars in women's wrestling. Instead, she lost clean. She even tapped out. And Rhea Ripley hasn't been the same since. Long time off of TV, coming back, talking, basically feeling she's entitled to something, which never looks good. And then she loses this, which is the triple threat. She takes the pin so Io can be champion. And right after that amazing main event, where Charlotte lost the title but did not lose because she was not pinned or submitted, and Io became champion, something that's long overdue in NXT, almost immediately after that, they do tomorrow night on Raw, Asuka invites Charlotte back to have another rematch. And I'm like, she couldn't stay out of the title picture for 12 fucking seconds. Like, title picture. I mean, it seems obvious she was just doing some little dalliance in NXT to see if she could get the ratings up. Mission unaccomplished. And then she's been all over both Raw and SmackDown. She has to be in a title picture, right? Now, not for Sunday. For Sunday, that's Nia Jax. But Nia Jax has heat, apparently, from the reports we've seen. They had to ban a buckle bombs for everybody. Like, okay, everybody, new rule, nobody gets to do buckle bombs. And everyone's like, hey, I do them. It's safe when I do them, says Seth Rollins. And Sting's like, hold up a second. Remember me? Can't wrestle ever again. But anyway, so they had to ban buckle bombs because of her. I guess they have to maybe have to ban throwing people into the ring steps because she can't be trusted to do that either. So maybe Nia isn't long for the championship picture on Raw, and they've got to bring somebody else in to face Asuka, not on Sunday, but immediately after that. And that person, of course, is Charlotte Flair. Now, when I said she's out of the title picture for 12 seconds, I thought I was using hyperbole. So that is what brings us to the beginning of Raw last night, where Asuka comes out because she's supposed to have her match with Charlotte to kick off the show. But before she can say anything, she's interrupted by Sasha and Bayley, who are great. I love them as the arrogant heel tag champs. They're very, very good together. Bayley, in particular, is just hilarious as this, like, super cocky. I think she's so fantastic at what she does. And my own tastes tend toward Sasha as the best of the horsewomen anyway. So I love these two. And they're in there and they like to, they just want to gloat about being champs. And then Flair interrupts. Charlotte Flair comes out and she talks shit to Sasha and Bayley. And then the Iconics come out. And the Iconics, if you'll remember, were in a feud with Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss, who were the tag team champions, but they're a SmackDown act. So now that they're not tag team champions anymore, they can't appear on Raw unless they've been brand to brand invited. So I guess no invitation was sent from brand to brand, so they couldn't be here to be a part of this segment. So relied on the Iconics, who are a Raw act, to come out and say to Sasha and Bayley, you're defending those new titles against us and Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss in a triple threat match at Backlash. So the automatic rematch clause being gone is officially dead. There's always automatic rematches now. They don't have to have one, but they're going to have one because they can't think of anything else to do. Why Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross have another title shot, I don't know. They lost. There wasn't a whole lot of chicanery there. Just, you know, Bayley and Sasha doing slightly underhanded things, but they're the heels. That's to be expected. Nobody got hit with a chair. You know, like, it was Nikki got pinned. So you get a rematch at the pay-per-view. Okay. And Cross Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, the Iconics, they were all set to have a match versus Bliss Cross Applesauce, which I fucking hate that nickname, but it's easier for me to remember. Bliss Cross Applesauce, which is probably why it's their nickname, because it's easy to remember. Bliss Cross Applesauce was it's a stupid fucking nickname. Bliss Cross Applesauce was supposed to have a match versus Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, and that never happened. So I guess Billy Kay and Peyton Royce just shunt on over to whoever the new tag champions are. Fine. So they're having a triple threat match at Backlash. Not Payback and not Paylash and not Backback, but Backlash. And so they're out there, and then Charlotte basically gets to just continue talking shit to Charlotte and Sasha, and she calls them garbage. I maybe I missed it, but it seemed like a very obvious point of attack for Sasha or Bailey or both to be like, hey, what's missing around your waist there? No longer a champ? Are you missing something? Did you lose something? Did somebody take your belt from you? Because of the way Charlotte used to do it, but she gets to say, you know, she says, I don't need a championship to be relevant. And even if you guys are champs, you'll always be garbage. So, at this moment, Sasha and Bailey attack Charlotte because she just called them garbage. And Peyton Royce and Billy Kay attack Asuka. Because why not? Like, I don't know what Asuka, I don't remember Asuka ever saying anything to Billy Kay and Peyton Royce. I don't remember him yelling at them in Japanese. I don't remember that happening. Maybe it did, and I just blocked it out. I block out so much of Raw, and I have to refresh my memory. But I don't see anything in my notes, so did they? Maybe. I don't know. It's a weird thing to be like, hey, you're a babyface and we're heels and we have had up until this point very little to no interactions. But anyway, let's fight. It's stupid. It's lazy and stupid. So there's a brawl and then we go to commercial and we come back and just like out of the blue, let's have a tag team match, player, a triple threat tag team match. And it's the triple because, okay. Match is fine, but now you're going to do Charlotte versus Asuka. Can they coexist? Why would they want to coexist? They obviously hate each other. They're having a singles match later in the night, which you've made sure and told us. This does not replace that. This is in addition to that. So Charlotte has an awesome, very good match in which she performed very well. Triple threat match the night before in NXT. She has a tag match to start off the show. And later in the night, she's going to have like almost a half hour singles match. This is not to say she doesn't put in the work. She does. But maybe somebody else should put in the work occasionally. I mean, you have a whole roster of people. There's certain, like, occasionally, you'll watch basketball. And the announcer will say, well, like, five guys have the flu. Or one guy blew out his knee, and a couple other guys have, you know, twisted ankles. It's the second night of a back-to-back, so they only have seven guys on the bench. We have to play everybody. Because normally, I don't know if you watch basketball, normally there are 12 guys. So you have to play everybody, because seven guys, that's five starters and two bench guys. Everyone's got to play. This isn't the case with WWE. They have a very wide, huge, long bench on which you are sitting Shayna Baszler and Bianca Belair just for starters. Then Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, Natty. All of them just can't get on TV. Can't. What I'm saying is there's no need for Charlotte to do triple duty over two nights. There's just no need for it. So, of course, Charlotte and Asuka can't get along very well. Each team is in control for part of this match. This is a long match. But mostly the Iconics are there just to lose. Now, Bailey and Sasha get chucked out of the ring by the Iconics. You know, oh, a preview of Sunday. And then they're standing up in their corner and Charlotte runs at them. Like to punch them both, but they duck and jump off the apron. and they never get back up on the apron. And there's, I swear to God, 4 more minutes in the match. And they never get back up on the apron. And they don't leave. They just sit there. How much more? Like, listen, it's just what I want for all of these characters is agency. I want them to look like they are making their own decisions as characters. How much better and more in character would it have been for Bailey and Sasha to be up there ready to do this thing, and then they get back up, they get chucked out of the ring by the Iconics, they're very mad, they get back up on the apron, only for Charlotte to run at them. They hate Charlotte, they don't want to tag, you know, in a match versus the Iconics. We have a championship match on Sunday, we got to go rest up. So they say, you know what, screw all of you, we're out. And they just walk away. They take their championships and leave. They didn't want to win this match anyway. They didn't want to have this match, but they get to make their own decisions. They decide, we are leaving. We're not going to be a part of this anymore. Charlotte, that was very mean of you to try to attack us. We were both standing on the apron like good little girls. You decided to take a swing at us. We're not playing with you anymore. And they leave. Instead, Charlotte takes a swing at them. They duck. They jump off the apron and they cower in the corner on the floor, huddled together. Like refugees in the back of a container truck. Oh no. I hope Charlotte doesn't come and punch us. It's just another subtle way. Charlotte swinging them and missing is enough for them to say, well, we don't want to fight anymore. We're just going to sit over here and not do anything. Not be heels and say, fuck you, we're leaving. But, oh no, let's not anger the tall blonde woman anymore. She's so much more powerful than us. Oh no, biting of nails. Oh no. It really makes Bailey and Sasha look like shit. So, this is Bailey Kay in the ring taking all the offense from the last 4 minutes of the match from Charlotte and Asuka. And then Charlotte is beating up Bailey Kay. Bailey Kay's selling like a madwoman. She's doing a great job of selling all these chops and stuff. And then she winds up on the floor after a big boot on the canvas, and Charlotte goes up to do a moonsault, one of her terrible moonsaults. And Asuka tags herself in and puts the Asuka lock on Bailey Kay. Bailey Kay taps out. So, Bailey Kay and Peyton Royce come in to this the never-ending, interrupting promo parade that is the first segment. And they get put in this match versus two people they're going to face on Sunday, and then two singles people. Because not Asuka and Kairi, that's different. It's Asuka and Charlotte who hate each other and have had no prep and have never tagged together before that I know of. And they just wipe the floor with the Iconics, who have a tag match. A tag title match on Sunday at Backlash. How does this make the tag division look good? It doesn't. So then, after Asuka taps out Bailey Kay, Charlotte is pissed because she got tagged out, and so she hits a big boot on Asuka and is just a sneak attack Asuka and stand tall over Asuka, who is the champion of Raw, I will remind you. This is going to continue all fucking night. So they were going to have another interview with Rey Mysterio via satellite from his home. But his home looks a lot. I mean, maybe it is his home. It looks a lot like some room in the PC. It's got a couple of posters of his stuff up in there. It looks like his basement. It's like concrete slab wall with some paint that's peeling. Also, they make sure and like make his camera all fuzzy. Like, oh no, we're definitely not taping this from inside the building. Look, his camera's all fuzzy. The Skype connection must be bad. He starts to talk, and then Seth Rollins decides he's going to walk down the ring, and he's going to be a part of the interview because Seth Rollins is an asshole. And Rollins says, "You son of a bitch." Well, I'm not cleared yet. I'm not cleared yet. The doctors say that my eye is really bad, but it's healing. I'm not cleared yet. When I am cleared, I'm going to be there. And this is what he says in a really threatening manner to Seth Rollins, "You son of a bitch." He says, "Seth Rollins, when I'm cleared and we have a match, I'm not going to wait until the end of the match to hit the 619 on you. I'm going to do it at the start of the match. That's how I'm going to get my revenge on you for trying to half blind me. I'm going to, at the start of the match, when you're not tired, I'm going to make you lean up awkwardly against the middle rope so I can swing around and boop you in the nose with my shins. That'll be the vengeance, the righteous vengeance I take upon you, Seth Rollins. You son of a bitch." It's fucking stupid. When Rey Mysterio was feuding with Brock Lesnar, did he say, "I'm going to hit the 619 on you, Brock"? No, he took a damn lead pipe to him. And Brock didn't try to put out Rey's eye. Brock did F5 Rey's son, so. We'll see what happens after Seth Rollins stomps Rey's son. See, Seth invited Rey and Dominic, Rey's son, to Raw next week. But Rey said, "No, I can't. I'm not cleared. When I am cleared, though, I'll come." So I think Dominic's going to show up on his own. That he's going to go there without his old man to prove something. And live via satellite from San Diego, Rey is going to watch as Seth Rollins beats the ever-loving piss out of Dominic in Florida. So Seth gets to like do the thing because Dominic's going to show up and like, "Hey, an eye for an eye, Seth Rollins. Oh, whoops, I forgot I can't fight. And you have two goons. Oh, no, I don't think this is going to work out for me. Ah, Dominic, you blew it again." And then he's going to get the piss beat out of him. That's what I think is going to happen next week. Hey, Aleister Black ran in and decided to beat up Seth Rollins because they're in a feud. Because as we said, Aleister Black and Rey Mysterio both got thrown off the one roof onto a secondary roof 6 feet below. They got thrown off of that at the same time, so they're able to commiserate about the fall, the 6 foot fall from one roof to a secondary roof that happened a fucking month ago, and they're best friends now. Also, best friends with Aleister Black is Humberto Carrillo because he loves Rey Mysterio because he's young and Mexican, so he has to love Rey Mysterio, who's the best luchador ever. So they have to be, it's like, basically, Rey Mysterio is like a father to Humberto Carrillo. And so maybe there's a great future tag team. Los Hijos del Rey Mysterio, made up of Dominic, his actual son, and Humberto Carrillo, his spiritual son. Also, then they can feud over which one of them is that Rey loves more. I've written like 10 years of great stories for you guys. Come on, let's do it. Anyway, there's a tag team match, playa. Because Humberto Carrillo and Aleister Black wrestle against Buddy Murphy and Austin Theory. Remember how Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black had those amazing series of matches that was so, so good? Aleister Black won all three, but Buddy Murphy came this close to beating him all three times? That was an amazing, amazing series. Buddy Murphy proved, beyond a shadow of a doubt, during that series, as if his matches versus Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan on SmackDown the few months prior had not already told us this, Buddy Murphy proved during that series of matches with Aleister Black, where he came within a hair's breadth of beating the heretofore undefeated Aleister Black, that Buddy Murphy was a force to be reckoned with. And just kidding, he's a henchman for Seth Rollins, only there to take pins after short matches. And he's getting pinned by transitional moves. Aleister Black doesn't even need to hit one Black Mass on Buddy Murphy, let alone two. I think he beat Buddy Murphy in the final match of that trio of matches with two Black Masses. He knew he had to hit a second one on Buddy Murphy to put him away, put him down for the count. So he hit two on Buddy Murphy. Now he runs up and hits a knee on Buddy Murphy while Buddy Murphy's sitting on the top rope. Did it look vicious? Yes. Does Aleister Black ever beat anybody else with that move? No, he doesn't. So Buddy Murphy is the guy who's there to take pins. Not Austin Theory, the young guy who needs to pay a lot of his dues. Not him. No, no, no. We got plans for him. Buddy Murphy's the guy who takes pins. But then, after the match, Rollins and Theory and Buddy Murphy, they all gang up on Humberto Carrillo. They get rid of him first, beat him down. Finishers for everybody. And then they do it to Aleister Black. Like, how dare you? You were supposed to be a sacrifice. I allowed you to be sacrificed. Why didn't you choose to be sacrificed? I mean, because sacrificing kind of sucks, dude. You know, nobody likes to be sacrificed. You don't hear them berating the goat, you know, in those old movies where they had to sacrifice a goat to the gods or whatever. You're like, why didn't you choose to be sacrificed, goat? Because I got a pretty good life. I eat trash all day. It's not bad. I don't want to die. You know, tin cans or whatever goats eat. So they interviewed Randy Orton backstage. Charlotte Caruso did. This woman, this bitch, she still has the unmitigated gall to come out and say, some are calling it, many are saying, it's going to be the greatest wrestling match ever. No, honey, no, Chaz. You're saying it. You were the first one to say it. Everybody else on your own fucking show started saying it. But guess what? Nobody, ain't nobody anywhere else outside the confines of the PC saying it's going to be the greatest wrestling match ever. Nobody's saying that. When you say many are saying, nobody is saying it. Nobody is saying it. You started it. Take ownership at least. Somebody in WWE say it. That we came up with it. It's only us. At least Edge is being like, I don't think we should be calling it this ahead of time. That seems kind of bad. That's a lot of pressure to go into a match under. He's not saying, I don't think we're going to have that match. He's like, I don't think we should call it that. You know. Anyway, so Randy Orton is interviewed. He's like, hey, well, let's talk about the greatest match ever. So Edge is going to be on the Peep Show with Christian. Is there anybody else who's going to be a guest? And Charlie's like, no, I don't think so. Well, maybe there's going to be two guests, if you get my meaning. You're laid it on pretty thick there, Randall. But he wasn't even a guest. He just made us think that he was going to come in there and beat him up, but he didn't. Christian interviewed Edge, and he got right into it and basically said, Edge, what are you thinking? I'm really happy for you that you're back, but you can't have the greatest match ever. I don't think you could have done it in your prime. You're going to be an embarrassment. Why are you doing this? And you know, being like, I'm your best friend, so I have to give you the tough love. I have to like be honest with you, brutally honest. And Edge says a good thing. Like, no, you don't think I know this? I haven't had an actual straight up ready, like actual one-on-one, no frills, no gimmick wrestling match in 9.5 years. And they're saying it's going to be the greatest wrestling match ever. That's like, I like this metaphor. I did. I liked it. And I honestly love Edge's delivery. If Edge is as good an actor in Money Plane, his new heist movie that's coming out with the guy who played Frasier, that's going to win a few Oscars, I'll tell you, because he's a good actor, old Edge, old Adam Copeland he is. Anyway, he says, it's like being dropped at the bottom of Everest with no gear and no crew, and they say, climb it. Do it now. It's hard to do. And then, you know, Trish's like, all I hear is excuses. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. Just kidding. I know you can do it, buddy. You're really great. So it was a weird thing, like giving him tough love, like making, he got Edge to be like angry about it. And then Christian's like, see, that's the Edge I know. That's the Edge who's going to have the greatest match ever at Backlash. And then Randy pops up on the Titantron. Up here, Edge and Christian, up here. And he says, you guys, whatever. You can't, you're not going to beat me. No chance. And his Edge's redemption story is going to end at Backlash. And then Edge takes a long pause and looks at Christian and puts up his mic and says, no, it won't. And then he walks off backstage. And I thought he was going to go beat up Randy Orton, who's backstage. But he didn't. He just walked backstage. It was a weird way to, like, I'm angry. I'm going to walk backstage now. Whatever. Hey, predictions for Backlash. Doesn't fucking matter who wins, Randy Orton or Edge. Doesn't fucking matter. And guess what? It's not going to be the greatest wrestling match ever. I think they know it's not going to be the greatest wrestling match ever, and so they're going to troll us with a squash. Either Edge beats Orton clean really fast, like in 2 minutes, or Edge just immediately hits Randy immediately hits Edge with a chair, like as Edge is walking down the ramp, and the match is called off. I wouldn't even get the match. I think it's an epic troll. We get so pissy about it being it's not going to be the greatest wrestling match ever. Why are you guys even calling it that? This is an impression of me. Why are you even calling it that? It's not going to be the greatest wrestling match ever. We all know it's not going to be the greatest wrestling match ever. And then they don't give us a match at all. And then we're like, what a chip. I wanted to see the greatest wrestling match ever. I honestly think that's what they're going to do. It's an epic troll on the internet wrestling community. I honestly think that's what it's going to be. I'll tell you what, there's a much bigger chance of it being an epic troll on the IWC than it is of it actually being the greatest wrestling match ever. So, R-Truth is trying to hide in a road box backstage while MVP is being interviewed. About what? Who knows? He was trying to say, like, what do you think Drew McIntyre felt when Lashley had him in the full Nelson? By the way, we can't keep calling it the full Nelson. Like, you got to give Bobby Lashley's submission move that puts out everybody has got to have his own name. I don't know what they're going to call it, but until they come up with one, I'm calling it the Lashter Lock. Not the master lock, but the Lashter Lock. It's better than whatever they're going to call it, probably. Anyway, so they're asking MVP about what Drew McIntyre felt when not MVP put not MVP in some kind of submission move. Like, I don't know why he would speculate. But he sees R-Truth climbing into a road box, says, what are you doing? Like, I got to hide from Robin Gronk because I'm the 24/7/77/777/777/711/777 champion now. So I got to hide. And MVP calls him a clown because he is. I mean, he is a clown. That's what he's doing. He's playing a clown. He's very funny, but he's playing a clown. And then R-Truth kind of gets up in MVP's face a little bit, if I remember correctly, and then Lashley comes in and hits the Lashter Lock on R-Truth. So, tag team wrestling is dead in WWE. It's dead. You can't keep putting two single stars who hate each other in tag team triple threats with the tag champs and the number one contenders to the tag champs, and then having the two single stars win clean. You can't do that. It buries not only your champions, but the people who might be the next champions. These two people who know how to work together, who are on the same page, cannot beat two people who actively don't want to work together. At the very least, that is you saying that cooperation is overrated. Which, I mean, it's Vince McMahon. It's Vince McMahon. Do we think he plays well with others? I don't. So yeah, he probably thinks cooperation is for suckers. I'll do it all myself, and it'll be better than if everybody else worked together against me. Because, let's be honest, in his life, when has that been wrong? You know? So, there you go. So, beyond that, what happened with the women's tag champions, the men's tag champions, if you look at SmackDown, New Day isn't really doing anything right now. I do think they had planned something to go on with the Forgotten Sons and the Jackson Riker stuff threw them for a loop, and they weren't sure how to proceed with that now. If one half of the Usos is gone, they don't really know what they're going to do. They've decided that Otis isn't in a tag team anymore. They've banished Tucker, the more talented person in that tag team by far. They banished him to wherever the hell since Mania. So Otis isn't in a tag team anymore. Heavy Machinery doesn't exist. So it's the Forgotten Sons and Miz and Morrison, who are now a tag team, but working in a singles program, because that's the only thing, because the tag team titles don't really matter. So they're going after the number one singles championship as a comedy duo versus a dude who topples over large automobiles. So I guess they're probably not going to win that match. So that's on SmackDown. NXT used to be the bastion for men's tag team wrestling. They couldn't even get a tag team title match on a takeover. Tag team title matches on takeovers used to be like the can't miss match. You knew those were going to be absolute clinics with near fall after near fall, brilliant pacing, and always there's always going to be one near fall where you know for a fact it's going to be a three and it's not a three and you lose your mind. So many amazing tag matches have happened at takeovers. We didn't get a tag team title match. They had a great, fun, accidental tag team in Dunn and Riddle, but Dunn got stuck in the UK because of travel restrictions, and they brought up Riddle to probably not have a match on TV for 6 weeks. So now it's Imperium. The two guys who were in the States, Bartel and Eichner, great. Breezango is back on NXT, and they just won a tag team triple threat number one contenders match. But that match they got, they by winning that match, they didn't have that match at TakeOver. They're going to have it on regular NXT TV, I guess, because nobody really cares to watch Breezango versus Imperium. Plus, they got this terrible green as fucking goose poop team in Duchere. They're trying to groom to become the tag titles, like they're, I don't know, Punjabi AOP. The P stands for Punjabi. except for they can't wrestle. So yeah, let's put the belts on those guys in NXT. That's going to be fun. I say all of that to tell you across the board what's going on with NXT men's, I mean, with tag team men's wrestling. And now on Raw. Well, on Raw, we got the Street Profits, who are tag team champions, who haven't defended the titles since Mania. As I talk to you, it's now the 9th of June. Happy 69 Day, everybody. Nice. But they haven't defended the titles in 2 fucking months. Why, you ask? Well, because they have to do a series of stupid comedy skits with the Viking Raiders. Now, are the Viking Raiders kind of like objectively silly? They're two giant men with big beards who dress like Vikings. Yes. Do they wrestle completely serious? Yes. Yes, they do. They take that shit seriously. In the ring, they are fucking serious. But you'll never be able to take them seriously again because you had this fucking shit where they had to go, what was it? Basketball, axe throwing, golf, bowling, all this shit. So they can prove anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. No, you can't. Yes, I can. No, you can't. Yes, I can. Da 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 da. Show tunes. That's what they're doing with the Street Profits. Two of the most honestly, truly, organically charismatic dudes they've ever put together when they get to do their own stuff, not micromanaged by people who don't get it. Those two guys are amazing together. Okay? Now, they have a rivalry versus the Viking Raiders. The Viking Raiders, who is some at Survivor Series last year, they had a match versus the New Day and versus the UE versus Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, who were the best two of these are three of the best tag teams ever. And the Viking Raiders won that match. You booked them to win that match. You said, these guys are the best tag team we have on our roster across all three brands. We took the best from this brand, the best from this brand, the best from that brand, the best from this brand, the Viking Raiders. They won. They're the best team that we have on the roster. Notwithstanding the OC, because they won a gauntlet match in front of this King of Saudi Arabia, and they won a big trophy, and then we fired them after they were murdered by The Undertaker. So notwithstanding the OC, the Viking Raiders are, as you've booked them, the very best tag team that you have on the roster. And the Street Profits don't beat the Viking Raiders. They just can't beat them. So could you have a series of matches about that? About the Street Profits being an otherwise honorable pair of dudes, but if the things start to go rough against the Viking Raiders, they start like getting intentionally counted out because they don't want to lose their titles. Could you do that? I don't know. Could you do like the Viking Raiders take the titles immediately from the Street Profits? The Street Profits have to go from underneath to try and get them back. Could you hot potato them back and forth where like Street Profits are able to win one and then the Viking Raiders are super pissed so they squash the Street Profits in the rematch. The Street Profits are able to win an amazing long match where they barely squeak one out. Like you could do awesome things between them as an actual tag team feud, but no, you have them go out and you fucking pull a turkey leg out of the returning ball machine at a bowling alley to prove what? It does feel like they're trying to force a mutual respect friendship between Street Profits and Viking Raiders the way organically it was built between the Usos and New Day on SmackDown. Forcing shit, always worse than it just happening. I hate it. So, in order to settle this thing, because now each, after doing this for a fucking month, each team has, this is the fifth week they've been doing this shit, each team has won 2 weeks. So now they have a decathlon. Decathlon means 10 events. So right away, going into this, I'm like, each team's going to win 5 events in the decathlon, right? And this is going to go on forever, right? Right. So here, I had to take notes because there's too many fucking events, so I wrote them all down on my phone so we can go through all of the terrible fucking events. So we have, first one, 1600 meter dash, which does not fucking exist. A 400 meter dash is one time around the track. 1600 meter dash is 4 times around the track. 4 times around the track is a mile. So you call it a mile run. 1600 meter dash is not a thing. But surprise, surprise, Montel Vontavious Porter and Montez Ford. Just a whole bunch of Monts. Montez Ford is faster than Ivar. Then we have archery. Archery involves Eric, who hits a bullseye, and Antonio Dawkins, who shoots way off into the distance and shoots a dude in the foot. And apparently that's just fine. The dude's going to be okay, I guess. They play Flip Cup, because that's a thing you can do. No surprise there. Profits win that. Sword fighting. Montez Ford forfeits before the sword fighting even starts. Hurdles. It's funny because it's funny. See, it's comedy. It's funny because Angelo Dawkins jumps over all the hurdles and Ivar runs through them. He doesn't even try to jump because he's big and big guys run through things. Ha, 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 comedy. So Angelo Dawkins wins that. Stick fighting. I thought it was going to be like that awesome thing from American Gladiators, which where each person has a giant Q-tip, and they just like with a styrofoam end, and they keep battering each other on top of something. No, stick fighting is tug of war with two sticks. Each guy holds a stick, each holding two sticks, and you try and pull the guy off balance so he falls into a literal inflatable wading pool full of goat's milk. So Eric wins that. There's a dance-off! Oh, a dance-off! And this is able to continue the stupid fucking thing they do where a woman, a random woman, it's either a cop or a waitress at a bowling alley or whatever, thinks Ivar is cute and Eric is not. That's the joke. That's a running joke. So there are three judges judging the dance-off. The two guys pick Montez Ford and the woman picks Ivar because he's cute. So the Prophets win that. Then the Prophets win the shot put. So now they're up 5-3. But the next event is the turkey leg eating contest. A turkey leg eating contest. A turkey leg eating contest. The Viking Raiders win that. And the last event is a pole vault, which you think the Street Profits will win, but they don't because Ivar can pole vault really far. I mean, they can't. Like, it's all done with really terrible close-ups and editing. But so the decathlon ends at 5-5. I don't know what's happening next week, but I bet you it's not fucking tag team wrestling. Ah. talk more about these two teams in a little bit. Jesus. There's a United States Championship number one contender triple threat match. It's weird. This is just a handicap match. Because Kevin Owens is one person who's in this match, and the other two people are Angel Garza and Andrade. So what do? They team up on Kevin Owens the entire night, and the entire match, and he fights from underneath valiantly. And then one of the two, Angel or Andrade, will try to steal the pin, and then one will take exception to that because they don't fucking know the rules of a triple threat match. Because they are stupid. And then they get pissy at each other and they start shoving shit around ringside and they knock over Zelina Vega. Oh no, will she ever recover from being nudged to the floor? And she gets taken to the back by medical professionals. And Kevin Owens fights back and fights back and fights back. And he hits the stunner on Angel Garza. He's going for the pinfall. And Andrade runs in with a dropkick to Owens and pins Angel Garza himself. And that's the end of triple threat match. It was a long match. It was a good match. I mean, as triple threats that are actually handicap matches go, it was good. Andrade versus Apollo Crews again. Like, I feel like that's... I think it's going to be a good match, but I don't... You could have found a way to get an Angel Garza match in there. Or the actual match Kevin Owens was promised by Apollo Crews, which they didn't get to finish. So it feels like that match didn't happen. Apollo Crews says, I get to pick my first opponent. I pick you, Kevin Owens. They have a match. It's a good match. The match gets interrupted by Angel Garza and Andrade. So in my mind, and I'm probably sure in Kevin's mind, that match never actually took place. So... shouldn't I now be number one contender because I never got my actual match to begin with? At very least, he should raise that as a concern of his. That should be his point of view, and he should express it, even if somebody shuts him down and says, no, that's not how it works. Anyway, Andrade versus Apollo Crews will be a good match, and I don't care. Charlotte Flair was interviewed backstage an hour and 45 minutes into this fucking show. They finally mention that she lost the NXT title the night prior at TakeOver. She says, I didn't lose. I did not pin, nor did I submit. And let's be honest, I don't need a title. We know! You don't need a title. You didn't need to win the Royal Rumble. But you're a Flair, so you get titles, and you get to win Royal Rumbles. When you say you don't need a title to be relevant, that's true. It's entirely true. You don't need a title to be relevant. So you shouldn't have a title all the time. Or you shouldn't be in the title picture all the time. Figure out something else to do because you could be relevant anywhere. You could have a really great dynamite feud between Liv Morgan and Charlotte Flair. I pitched this weeks ago when Liv Morgan had her match versus Charlotte, where Liv Morgan just keeps laughing in the face of Charlotte. Like, I don't care what you do to me. You're not going to break my spirit, Queenie. Just derisive the whole time. Like, she won't be pinned. She won't submit. She's crazy. Because the one thing that she has to do to prove to herself that she can be the best is to beat the best. And in her mind, Charlotte is the best. And she has to do it so she won't lose. So Charlotte has to get herself disqualified over and over again. It takes a toll on Charlotte. And Charlotte doesn't have a title. You don't need a title to make this fucking feud work. The feud ends when Liv finally gets a victory over Charlotte. That could take 2 months. And there you got 2 months of Charlotte not in the title picture. If you, I believe Liv Morgan can make the crazy. This is what I compared it to, is in the movie Fight Club, when that dude is beating the hell out of Brad Pitt and he's just laughing in his face. How unnerving that is. That would be so cool to Charlotte to get spooked by this little girl that she's beating the hell out of, who just keeps laughing through the whole thing. Because, I mean, really, I mean, honestly, would you be surprised if somebody like Liv Morgan was a masochist? I wouldn't. Be an interesting little part of her character. Something. You can do something. You could have a, you could have, listen, here's somebody, they're not using it all. Bianca Belair, you brought her up to banish her to fucking main event. Bianca Belair. Never forgiven Charlotte Flair for coming in and interrupting Bianca's promo time when she was having a feud with Rhea Ripley. And she did the whole thing, talk to the hand to Bianca Belair, and Bianca nearly murdered Charlotte in that ring with her bare hands. So Bianca's still pissed about that. Does she seem like the kind of person who might hold a grudge? She does to me. So no title on the line, just Bianca. She's, I'm gonna snatch you bald. She just wants to humiliate Charlotte. And Charlotte's not gonna stand for that shit. So these two fucking beasts go at each other, beating the tar out of each other. That's great. Do that. Make that a program. Bianca wins that program because Charlotte is already made and would lose nothing by losing that program to Bianca. And Bianca goes, gets vaulted from beating Charlotte in that program. She gets vaulted to next in line to be a contender, and she becomes champion. And then Charlotte, later down the line, can have a feud with Bianca, make Bianca and Belair and Charlotte like mortal enemies. Could be a lot of fun. They're almost polar opposites, but they would work so well together in the ring. Just do it. She doesn't have to always be in the title picture all the time. So anyway, back to this little interview. She is interrupted by Asuka, who does a little dance, and she says, "Asuka, do you ever take anything seriously?" And Asuka says, "Yeah, I do," and slaps Charlotte across the face. It's a good slap. Not quite Apollo Crews to Andrade, but a good slap nonetheless. So later they have their match. We'll talk about that then. MVP was supposed to interview Bobby Lashley on the MVP lounge. It's weird, like a guy interviewing the guy he manages. It's just, okay, fine. Drew McIntyre showed up instead. Drew McIntyre talked some shit to MVP. He wanted to hit MVP with a Claymore kick, but Lashley appeared. And so he didn't do that, but he headbutted MVP instead. And then there was a brawl and the Viking Raiders. Oh, right. Right. And McIntyre talked to the Viking Raiders backstage because the whole decathlon thing happened earlier that day. The Viking Raiders are like, they're making Ivar into a comedy fat guy. They're making him into Viking Otis. I don't know what the lady see me, man. Maybe I have a je ne sais quoi. Je ne sais quoi, so he's doing a malapropism, which is fine. But then Drew McIntyre says, "Yeah, you have a certain I don't know what," which of course is what je ne sais quoi means. It's a comedy. Hey, I'm going to have a little get together. You are? You have a little get together? Because COVID's still out there, and there's a lot of spiky cases all over Florida. Maybe not having a get together is a good thing. Drew, but you're invited, but only if you beat MVP and Lashley. So, the Viking Raiders versus MVP and Lashley. The Viking Raiders, who again, by WWE's own booking, are the best tag team they have in their employ, lose to a singles wrestler and that singles wrestler's manager. The Street Profits are standing, are sitting there outside cheering on the Viking Raiders because they're best friends now. I guess they have a mutual respect born out of weeks of stupid comedy competitions. And at one point, MVP and Lashley are mad-dogging the Street Profits. They stand up right next to him and stare him down and everything. There's a staring competition before a commercial break or some shit, which means not only is Lashley not winning the title on Sunday, but he's going to be busted down to being part of a tag team with his manager, and probably Lashley and MVP are going to be the next tag champs of Monday Night Raw. Because, as I said, the guys who were supposed to be just as good as the Street Profits at everything, not just wrestling, but at everything, you know, including fucking turkey leg eating and flip cup, they can't beat Lashley and MVP. So, Lashley wins by putting Eric in the full Nelson in the Lashter lock. Eric taps out to that. Then Ivar comes in the ring and hits MVP. So Ivar gets put in the Lashter lock. And the Street Profits get in trying to pull Lashley off of the Lashter lock on Ivar. And they can't do it. Oh my God, he's so strong. And then McIntyre runs in, hits a claymore to knock him off of Ivar. And it doesn't even phase Bobby Lashley. He gets kicked out of the ring. And then he like walks up the ramp like, so he no sells the claymore. Oh no, how will McIntyre ever beat Lashley if the claymore didn't have any effect on him? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, during the match, they interviewed Lana backstage about what she feels about not being able to go out there with Lashley anymore. She's like, you know, I realize I've been very selfless, worrying so much about my Bobby. I should worry about my own career. 2020 will be the year of Lana. We're halfway over with that shit, honey. If 2020 is your year, get on it. Because so far, it ain't been. Yeah, Charlotte Flair defeated Asuka. Which is why she's now in the title picture, because she beat Asuka. The Bayley and Sasha on commentary are great. They were on commentary for this. The Iconics came in and beat them up. So the tag champs, the women's tag champs, got beat up by their number one contenders, who lost to the two single stars on Raw who hate each other and can't work together. Who comes out of this looking good? Not Bayley and Sasha. Not the Iconics, even though they beat up Bayley and Sasha, because earlier in the night, they couldn't fucking get it together to beat up two women who hate each other and can't cooperate. Not Asuka. The match between Charlotte and Asuka is great. It's a great match. These two women are incapable of having a bad match together. That's not the point. The point is, Nia Jax, who is the number one contender and has a match versus Asuka on Sunday, was a fucking afterthought all night long. I don't think anybody even mentioned her fucking name. And she comes out of the end to get up on the apron and distract Asuka long enough for Asuka to eat a big boot, a sneak attack by Charlotte Flair because, you know, dirtiest player in the game, etc. And then Asuka gets pinned, 1, 2, 3. And then Nia Jax gets in the ring. And hits the Samoan drop. And that's the end of Raw. So Asuka doesn't look good. I'd venture again. I'd say that Nia doesn't even look good. Nobody even talked about her. Nobody mentioned her all night long. She had to get on TV by doing a sneak attack on Asuka that was foiled immediately by like one kick and a running hip attack to knock her off the apron. The only person that comes out of last night and the night before, if you combine the two nights, looking good, is Charlotte. And that's all that matters. The persistent inevitability of Charlotte Flair is all that matters. It's going to be the year 2538. Somehow, the android version of Charlotte Flair will still be Raw Women's Champion, SmackDown Women's Champion, NXT Women's Champion, somehow the number one contender to all three of those titles at the same time, and also the WWE Turkey Leg Eating Champion, because I'm pretty sure after all the time they've spent doing a turkey leg themed comedy sports shit, the next belt is going to be the Turkey Leg Eating Belt. That was Raw. This has been Sour Graps. I have been Alex Pawlowski. Everything sucks.